Unsurprisingly, our reading this morning is the two psalms in which our verse for the year comes, Psalm 42 and 43. They probably originally were one psalm, but for some reason in our translation, and it's been split into two, but we're going to read these two psalms together, and you will see why actually they fit perfectly together. So Psalm 42, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand, and a welcomer will bring you one. Psalm 42. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of God to us. I'd invite you, please, to have your Bible open again at Psalms 42 and 43. Psalms 42 and 43, page 567 in the Church Bible. And let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, at the end of a holiday period, we can feel a bit sleepy, a bit drowsy. Please, Father, in your mercy and by your Spirit, would you wake us up this morning? Would you give us a hunger and thirst to hear from you, the living God. Would you bless us by turning us from our wicked ways, by pointing us to your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus? Please would you be changing us today. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our focus today is on our church verse for 2016. It's repeated, you may have noticed, three times in these two psalms. I won't get you to say it out again, but here it is. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. How has 2016 started for you? What have you spent the first 2 days of 2016 doing? Now, I can actually tell you what you've been doing. Don't get worried, I haven't been spying on you, but I can tell you what you have definitely done in the last 2 days, the first 2 years of this year, 2 days of this year. You have had numerous conversations with yourself. Don't worry about it, it's normal. We all do it. The conversations are often not audible, but they're going on in our head all the time. Shall I hit the snooze button or get up? What clothes shall I wear today? Porridge or toast for breakfast? Oh, it's gloomy outside today. I get to church. There's so-and-so. I must catch up with them after the service. Listen, it's normal, isn't it? There's a constant conversation going on with ourselves in our heads. But it's not only normal, it's significant. What we say to ourselves really matters, because all of us listen to ourselves more than we listen to anyone else in the world. Psalm 42 verse 11 provides the believer in our Lord Jesus with words that we need to speak to our souls. These are words that our souls need to hear repeatedly in the year ahead. You'll have heard of a man called Abraham Lincoln. He was the 16th president of the USA. He said a very interesting thing about the book of the Bible we call the Psalms. He said, "They, the Psalms, are the best. I find something in them," he said, "for every day of the year." That's good, isn't it? And actually, I hope that this verse for the year will be something we will find helpful every day of 2016. With the rest of Scripture, the Psalms are part of the essential kit every servant of King Jesus needs for the expedition we've embarked on at the start of a year. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. It has the most chapters. It covers the most pages. It's quoted more in the New Testament than any other Old Testament book. Often the Psalms is called the Bible's songbook, and that's true. Each psalm provides words that we can say or sing. But here's something important. We must never forget that the Psalms are part of God's word to us before they become words from us. Each psalm in the Bible is part of Scripture. That means it's a message from God to us, which then, as we receive it and understand it, produces words from us. Now, what kind of words do the Psalms produce? Well, sometimes they produce words of praise of God. Often they produce words of prayer to God, but they also produce what we find in this psalm. They provide words that we need, we must say to ourselves. Look again at the verse. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Look at the heading of the psalm. It's helpful. It tells us the original author was one of the sons of Korah. They were men appointed by King David to serve as singers and musicians in the temple. And what we have is a very carefully crafted record of an experience of one of the sons of Korah. And the heading tells us that he handed it over to the director of music. Why? Well, so that it would be used in the temple. And then it's been recorded for us in Scripture. Why? Well, so that actually believers in the Lord Jesus in every generation, like us, might then use this psalm, might learn to say these words to our souls. Very simply this morning, this psalm, these verses, this verse, which is repeated three times, provides three things the soul of every believer in our Lord Jesus needs to hear repeatedly. What are they? Well, there's a gentle rebuke, there's a direct command, and there's a certain promise. First of all, a gentle rebuke. The rebuke for behaving as if D times are permanent. D times is a way of describing the experience of the original author. Have you ever used the phrase down in the dumps? This writer was down in the dumps. And there's actually a pile of emotive words beginning with D that I think sum up how he saw his life at the point he wrote this psalm. So he tells us that he was dry. Look at verses 1 and 2. He was dry spiritually. He describes himself as being like an animal on a hot summer's day. Now, I've never seen a deer pant for water. But I have seen a dog hot on a summer's day. Yeah? Longing for water. And as an animal pants for water, this son of Korah, this believer, was panting for a meeting with God, which meant he was distressed. Look at verse 3. Tears were his food night and day. He couldn't turn the tap off. Not least because those around him were repeatedly saying that his circumstances were evidence that God was absent from him. And it was all because he was displaced. Verse 4, he wasn't where he had once been. He wasn't where he wanted to be. You see, remember that this man was a temple musician. And so he remembers in verse 4 how things used to be when he was at the temple and he was right in the middle of things when people were praising God with songs of joy. But if you glance down to verse 6, he wasn't in Jerusalem anymore. He was in the north of Israel at the source of the Jordan, in the hill country. We might call it, he was now in the back of beyond. Now, we don't know historically when this psalm was written. It's likely that it was written by one of the sons of Korah who, with King David, had to flee from Jerusalem at the time that Absalom, David's son, rebelled against him. They had to leave in a hurry. They weren't where they wanted to be. And that experience left this writer, verse 5, downcast and disturbed. Downcast. If you'd met this man, do you know what you'd have met? A man with his head down. A man with his shoulders slumped. A man, if you'd said to him, "How are you feeling today?" he'd have just said, "I feel awful today." And he was disturbed. That word disturbed has behind it the idea of a storm. That's what he was like inside. He was all churned up inside. His soul was in turmoil within him. He couldn't see how his current situation would ever change. In fact, look at verse 7. He felt like a drowning man. He describes himself as in effect being drenched by an unceasing waterfall. It was as though a raging sea was sweeping over him, and he felt deserted by God. Verse 9, forgotten by God. And it all left him disheartened. Look again at verse 9 and then into chapter 43 and verse 2. He speaks about going about mourning, oppressed by the enemy who taunted him, who called into question, where's your God, this God you say you trust in? D times. Down in the dumps times. I wonder if we're deliberately not told the exact circumstances of the writer's particular D time, because D times come in many shapes and sizes. Trusting and serving our Lord Jesus does not mean that we are immune from D times. D times come sometimes because of physical circumstances. Ill health or other reasons may mean that we're not physically where we want to be. We may not be able to do what we long to be able to do. D times may be linked to emotional factors. We're all wired differently emotionally. Some of us are kind of just like that, quite even emotionally. Others of us are like this. We have extreme highs and lows emotionally. Sometimes we may be able to identify with the psalmist in the language he uses, but actually not be able to say exactly why. D times may be linked to relational circumstances. Family or other relationships, or the lack of them, may be causing us great heartache and concern as things in our relationships are not as we would want them to be. D times may be linked to spiritual circumstances. Sin spoils our relationship with God. Part of his loving discipline may be to cause us to feel a distance from him. And we long for that sense of distance to cease. Now, whatever their cause, my guess is that all of us can identify with this idea of D times. Perhaps some of us, even today, would say this first Sunday of 2016 comes at a D time for us. As we look ahead into 2016, we may encounter many such D times. The fact these psalms are here tells us that we're not alone. Such times do come. And the thing we need to know is how to deal with them. And this son of Korah helps us. His starting point is right. He reveals his identity as someone in relationship with God. Look again at verse 1. What does he do? He speaks to God. That's where we have to start in the D times. And he does so very honestly. Verses 2 to 4 are this man pouring out his soul, thinking out loud, basically telling God exactly how he feels. And can I tell you, that's always a good thing to do? Some of us find it helpful to get a piece of paper out and just write down exactly how we feel. Often it's helpful to use a psalm like this and use the words God has provided that we might then tell him through the words of his word how we feel. But what we're meant to notice is where this pouring out of this sons of Korah's feelings leads. It all leads to verse 5. It all leads to him giving his soul a gentle rebuke. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? The sense is, you don't need to be. The sense is, you shouldn't be. I'm reminded of a story about Martin Luther, who was a great preacher, a great reformer. Martin Luther often knew D times. During one particular D time, he went about for ages with a very long face, and it really put a dampener on home life. One morning, he was sitting at the breakfast table and his wife came down to breakfast. She was dressed all in black as if she was going to a funeral. Martin Luther looked up and said, "Who's died?" She replied, "The way you've been behaving lately, I thought God must have died. So I've dressed for his funeral." Now, apparently, that gentle rebuke was very effective on Martin Luther. And my soul needs to be similarly rebuked. When I was a child, there was a comic song that my dad liked to sing. It was the hippopotamus song. "Mud, mud, glorious mud. Nothing quite like it for curing the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud." That's it, something like that. I've embarrassed my children now, sorry. But you see, there is something in us that sometimes means that what we do is we wallow in our distress and in our despair. And the trouble is that when we do that, we are acting as if our God is dead. What Psalm 42 shows us is that as a man or woman of faith experiencing D times pours out their soul to God, they learn to talk to themselves. They learn to preach to themselves. They learn to take themselves in hand and say to their soul, "Come on, soul, stop looking down. Yes, things may be tough. Yes, the storm may be rough. But why are you downcast and disturbed? These times will not last forever. So put your hope in God." Which leads to the direct command of the psalm. You see, think about it. What's the tendency of us all in D times? This is my tendency. Do you know what I do? I look down and I look in. What do I need to do? I need to look up to God with patient expectation. That's what it means to put our hope in God. Hope in the Bible is always about the future. Hope in God is about what God will do in the future. To hope in God is to wait for him to act, to look to him patiently and expectantly, even as we experience the reality and the distress of D times. Look from verse 6, because here we start to see what hoping in God looks like. Having talked to himself, the author talks to God again. Prayer is the way that we put our hope in God. But this time, he's not just pouring out his soul. Look at verse 6. "My soul is downcast within me." He's still being very honest. "Therefore, I will remember you." Do you see the significance of that word, therefore? Here's what I must do. His soul is responding to the rebuke. Oh, he's not where he wants to be. But he can remember God even in the back of beyond. He can remember God even as the waves and breakers sweep over him. On Boxing Day, we watched a children's film on the telly. Boxing Day Monday. I think that was Boxing Day, whatever Monday was. The Stick Man. Anyone watch The Stick Man? It was the story about a little stick who's a man. It's just imaginary, okay? And basically, it was the adventures of the stick man, how he actually went from one danger to another, to another, to another. And one of the dangers he went through on his journey was he ended up in the sea. He ended up in a storm at sea. And on the telly, actually, it was a bit much for a kid's film, I thought. He was being tossed around by these waves, and eventually he went under the waves, and he was going down and down and down and down. It was as though he was completely gone. He was drowned. But then in the film, he came bobbing up, and his head appeared above the waves, and then he went down and down and down and down again. But then he came bobbing up again. I think it's a bit like that in this psalm. having spoken to himself and now speaking to God, it's as if, as he starts to put his hope in God, the author's head pops up again. Look at verse 8. It's a remarkable verse, given all that he's said so far. Verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He's preaching to himself. Despite the D's that he feels, this son of Korah reminds himself that actually, wherever I am, the Lord's love is always aimed like an arrow directly at me. The title Lord is significant. It's the covenant name of God. Because he is the Lord, says the son of Korah, I can be sure that his love is aimed at me because he's promised that his love will always be aimed at me, even when I don't feel it. Even when I'm miles away from where I want to be, even when I'm in the middle of a storm, even when he's disciplining me for my sin, his love is directed at me. Now just think about it. If an Old Testament believer was able to assure himself of the Lord's love, how much more can I? As someone who lives this side of the cross of our Lord Jesus. But we can know and rely on God's love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the ultimate demonstration of his love, undeserved, unmerited, not performance related in any way. We deserve that his wrath, not his love, should be aimed at us. But it's the cross that convinces us that nothing, no D time, no circumstances that cause D times, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we can be assured of that, especially when our enemy, the devil, tempts us to think that, that either our circumstances show that the Lord doesn't love us, or our sinful behavior means that in some way his love has been removed from us. Now look how verse 8 continues. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Have you discovered in the Christian life that singing and praying go together? We should thank God for songs, including the Psalms. We should thank God for tunes that fit words. They help us to hope in God. They help us to look to God with patient expectation. Last Sunday evening, in the evening service, we sang a song we learned last year, which I've become very fond of. It's the one that goes, I don't deserve to be your servant. And how much less to be your child. And the chorus goes, all you have shown me is grace, love, and mercy. Now and forever I am your child. Freely you pour out your loving kindness. Father of grace, you welcome me in. We sang that in church last Sunday evening. I can't remember whether it was Sunday night or Monday night, but I had one of those nights where I couldn't sleep. Do you have those nights? And in fact, as I couldn't sleep, I was very aware of my unworthiness as a sinner before God. And I'm so grateful that this tune of this song and the words of that song kept on coming into my head. I don't deserve to be your servant. All you have shown me is grace, love, and mercy. Now and forever I am your child. Freely you pour out your loving kindness. Father of grace, you welcome me in. It went round and round in my head during that night. It did me good. What did it do? It helped me to put my hope in God. Look what the psalmist says, a prayer to the God of my life. The author is reminding himself that his God is the God who is in control. He was saying, God, my life's in your hands. You know what you're doing with my life. And so he prays, verse 9. He prays to God, my rock. In other words, you're my security in the storm, the thing I cling to. Oh, turn the page. He still feels forgotten. He's still going about mourning. He's still oppressed. He's still suffering and taunted. But it's as if in the journey he's taking, are you getting the idea of a journey here? It's as if in the journey he's taking, things are starting to change in his mind. And so we get verse 11, a repeat of our verse. A repeat of the rebuke. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Then the command, put your hope in God, which is followed by the certain promise. Now, before we move on, will you just look down at your Bible at verses 9 and 10? You need to do this. As you look at those verses, what do they point us to? Don't they point us to the experience of our Lord Jesus as he suffered for us? During his earthly ministry, the Psalms were the songbook of Jesus. I can imagine him saying or singing verses 9 and 10 as he hung on the cross. What did he know? He knew the experience, that sense of being forgotten, forsaken by God. There on the cross, he knew great sorrow. He was oppressed by his enemies. His bones suffered mortal agony. His foes taunted him and suggested that God, his Father, was no longer with him. Now, remembering that reminds us of why those who believe in our Lord Jesus can have real hope. Why we can say verse 11 to our souls. Our Lord Jesus is the one who experienced the most terrible of D times in all its dryness and distress. Our Lord Jesus knew what it was to be displaced. He left heaven to come to earth. He knew what it was to be downcast and disturbed within him. Think of the cry of his heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the cross, he was like a drowning man as the waves of God's wrath swept over him. In the darkness of the cross, he felt real desertion by God, leaving him disheartened. But what did our Lord Jesus do? He put his hope in God. His final words as he died on the cross were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. With these words, he was looking to God, his Father, in patient expectation of the resurrection of Easter Day. Now, why did he do all of that? He did it to give all who trust in him the same hope. He did it so people like us could say to our souls, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You see, the certain promise is that the way things are is not how they will always be. Look at Psalm 43. The journey of the writer continues as he again prays. While he still honestly expresses the reality of circumstances, there's a growing sense of his confidence in God acting. So he asks God to vindicate him, to speak up for him, to rescue him. Look how he describes God, verse 2, as his stronghold, his place of safety in the storm. He asks God to send what he needs to guide him to where he longs to be. And he anticipates the day when he'll be back in Jerusalem, back where he wanted to be, praising God with great joy and delight. And you get the sense that when he speaks to his soul again in verse 5, the tone is different from the first time we heard these words. It's almost as if there's a greater sense of confidence. And he's saying, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will Definitely, certainly. Yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Do you see what's happened? This believer has preached to his soul. His soul has responded to God in prayer, and speaking to ourselves and God always go together. And he is like that stick man. And it's as though he's bursting up through the waves in the storm. He's wet, but he's not drowned. He's sorrowing, but he's not without hope. Have his circumstances changed since the beginning of the psalm? Well, no. He's still not where he wants to be. Things are still not how he would want them to be. But the focus of his soul has changed. Through talking with God and talking to his soul, he's taken his soul in hand. And his soul is doing what a soul always needs to do. Hoping in God, who is Saviour and God. Just look at the last line of the psalm. My Saviour and my God. This reminds us of something very significant. That this hope we've been talking about is only available to those who know our Lord Jesus as Saviour and God. One of the solemn things that struck me this week as I studied these words is the thought of the way that is that these D times are described. Do you remember how they're described? Dryness, distress, displacement, downcastness, disturbedness, this feeling of drowning and desertion, being disheartened. Do you know what those words could all be used to describe? They could all be used to describe the horrors of hell. The eternal horrors of hell, which is what we each deserve as sinners. Not just for a little time, but forever, with no end ever in sight. Hell will be far worse than anything anyone ever faces in this life. But hell is what our Lord Jesus, our Saviour and our God, suffered in those hours of darkness on the cross. And he did that so that all who trust in him as their Saviour, as their God, might then know the certain promise of eternal life instead of eternal torment. And if this morning you're not yet trusting the Lord Jesus, if as yet you cannot call him my Saviour and my God, I would urge you this morning on this first Sunday morning of a new year to put your trust in him and in him alone. Without him, you can have no words of hope to speak to your soul, whether in the D times of life or in the ultimate D time of death. But if by God's mercy this morning, we can already call him my Saviour and my God, what do we need to learn? We need to learn repeatedly to speak these words to our souls. In his mercy, the Lord can and sometimes does bring us to times in our lives of peace and calm after particularly severe D times. But the reality is that D times are part and parcel of living in a fallen world with weak bodies, with sinful natures. But our certain hope is this, that through 2016 and however many more years God gives us, he will keep sending his light and his truth to us. He will guide us step by step. He will bring us safely eventually to the new Jerusalem, his heavenly kingdom. And you know what will be true there? D times will be banned. D times won't be possible anymore. Never again will my soul be downcast and disturbed within me. Isn't that good? And that is our certain hope as believers, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So what are you saying to your soul as this new year starts? What will you be saying to your soul throughout the year when you face D times of many kinds? Let's learn to say. Can we say it together? Let's learn to say. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Let's bow our heads and let's take the opportunity to respond to what God says to us in his word. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the precious gift of your word. Thank you that it's very honest. Thank you that it doesn't gloss over the realities of life in this fallen world. Thank you that it identifies with us and shows that you understand those times in our lives which are D times, when we do feel very much down in the dumps for all kinds of reasons. Father, some of us today know what it is to feel dry, distressed, displaced. We're not where we want to be. Yes, we're downcast. We're disturbed. There's a storm inside us, and we wish it would go away. Some of us would honestly say we feel deserted and we're disheartened, and there are even those around us who are questioning, where is this God that you say you put your faith in? Oh God, our Father, we want to remember you this morning. We want to remember that you are our rock and our stronghold. We want to remember that because of the Lord Jesus, we can be sure that your love is directed straight at us, that our lives are in your hands, that nothing can separate us from that love which Jesus showed when, while we were still sinners, undeserving of anything, he died for us. Father, please this morning, give us the grace by your Spirit to talk to our souls. Help us to learn to give our souls that gentle rebuke. Help us to learn to look up to you in hope, not down at ourselves or in at ourselves in despair. Help us to be clear of the certain promise that because our Lord Jesus went to the cross and suffered hell in our place, we have the greatest thing to hope for. We can be sure that you will lead us, as we've sung, home, to be with you forever. Father, we especially pray for those who have started 2016 in very difficult circumstances. As a church family, we remember Jenny and Danny O'Meara as Jenny's treatment continues and yet she's not well enough for more treatment. Help them to put their hope in you afresh today. Father, there are some of us who have great concerns for members of our families. Things are not as we would want them to be. Father, hear us as we pour out our hearts about our loved ones. Please, would you have mercy? Would we know that your love is directed to us? Would you guide us by your truth and your light? Father, some of us face great concerns about our employment situation. We're not sure what this year will hold in terms of employment. Help us to put our hope in you, the God of our lives. Father, some of us do know what it is to lie awake at night worrying about things. In the night, may we sing songs to you that help us to put our hope in you, to entrust our lives afresh to you. And would you give us peace that we might lie down and sleep, knowing that you are the one who makes us dwell in safety. Father, some of us are worried because we think perhaps our sin has cut us off from your love forever. Thank you that part of your love is that you discipline us. Please have mercy on us. Please forgive our sins and restore us to yourself. And Father, we pray for our world, where so many cannot speak these words of hope to their souls because they don't know Jesus as Savior and God. Father, please, this year, would there be men and women in Enfield Town and in Silver Street and Bishop Park and Potter's Bar who come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and therefore have a message of hope each to their souls. Father, hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.